Representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, so glad to be with you again, and I thank the Lord for the good day we have here in Cleveland. We had a little hot spell, and now it's wonderful, and it's cool, and so we thank the Lord. The Bible says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And so we're fighting the battles these days, but the battle will soon be over because Jesus has already won, and we're going to be with him. And we're one day closer to the day when he takes up his rule over this earth from Jerusalem. That's why all the attention is being settled these days in Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, because God is getting ready to come back and set up his kingdom on this earth. But today I have with me Pastor Al Davis. And would you tell us, we're so glad to have you on this program, you're a great big help. And about your program and also your church's phone number and address.
All right, Bruce. Well, thank you for letting me be on with you. I appreciate that. Thank you for letting me fill in for you last week, too. That was a blessing. But pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we're located at 5171 Brecksville Road. We meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express every Sunday, and we're there Sunday mornings at 10 and 11 and at 6 o'clock in the evening, and also every Friday night we have an informal Bible study there at the same location at 7 in the evening, and then we have a radio program on the air here. We'll be on tomorrow right on this station, AM 1220, The Word, at 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and then again Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight. And it's a live call-in Bible question and answer program. People call in with their Bible questions, and we talk about the world and what's happening in light of God's Word. So enjoy doing that, and certainly glad to be with you here today, Bruce.
I'm sure glad to have you, and you're a big asset to this program. You set up a website, and could you tell us where they can find that?
We have a website for the program here, and it's whereisgodsword.mapleknoll.us. That's whereisgodsword.mapleknoll.us. And there's information there about Bruce and also links to an article that Bruce wrote on correcting the Bible. And there's a couple things where Bruce is preaching and singing, and also you can help keep this program going by ordering some CDs that Bruce has that he's teaching on the Bible, and what is it, Bible and Bible prophecy?
Yeah, we have a series on Bible prophecy. It's six CD tapes, about 40 to 45 minutes in one book cover. And also a history of biblical Christianity, or we could say, we say Baptist, we were referring to the fundamental that the Bible is the only authority. It's not our experience or not tradition or church councils, but it's the Bible. It's taking the Bible for the plain sense. So we give the history of the Bible-believing churches from the time of Christ all the way up to the present in this. And it was done at Columbia Road Baptist Church. In a series that we did over 6 weeks.
Yeah, I would add that the message that we have on there where people can watch you preach, that has some similar information. It's a history of the Bible and the Baptists, which is a really good message. And then here's the titles of each of your messages on the six-message CD set. It's Christ and the Antichrist in Prophecy, then the Antichrist Government in Prophecy, the Roman Catholic Church in Prophecy, Israel in Prophecy, the King James Bible in Prophecy, and then the sixth one is Christ and Israel in Prophecy. And that's an excellent series, and if people are interested in that, it's $30. That'll include the shipping and handling anywhere in the United States and Canada. If you're outside of the United States or Canada, if you could add $5, make that $35 U.S. dollars to help cover the extra cost of shipping outside of Canada. Bruce, do you want to give them the address for where they can write for that?
Yes, they can write to Bruce Musselman, Musselman, P.O. Box 609-238, P.O. Box 609-238, Cleveland, Ohio, 44109. And you can send in a check, and we'll send it right out. We'll send it right out to you from that address.
Well, and that'll help keep you going on the radio here too, won't it?
Yeah. Well, we get support for the radio. It'll help it'll help to keep me going. And
well, and getting the information that you use, yes, and the books and materials that you use to prepare
true.
For the radio. So
it'll help support. Yeah. It'll help support my ministry. That, let's put it that way. You know.
All right. We'll do.
And I just thank God this radio program, month to month, Gary Meeks, I want to appreciate him and the tremendous job that he's done. He's the first one, and this whole thing got started. He invited us on to the air, gave us free time on his station, and then he was a manager, and now he works with radio stations. He's got us on stations all over the world, and so he's done a tremendous job there. And I appreciate him, and then Manaway Country Baptist Church, and then we're getting support from other churches too, People's Baptist Church, and the Bible Baptist Temple, and Manaway Country Baptist, and so on, and their support making it possible for me to do this ministry, and God supplying the finances in for this program. I just look at this as a miracle, because I personally could not even afford 15 minutes on one station. It's all stations now all over the world, and we're getting hundreds of hits on that email.
The website.
I'm right. Just kept catch. I'm an old timer, so I'm catching up with what's going on. Al's a little ahead of me there, but I just thank God. You know, the Lord just uses whoever He can find. See, and so He, if there's somebody out there, why He uses them, and so yeah, I was thinking you can also be used the Lord by praying for the program.
Mm-hmm.
Really praying and asking the Lord to help us, and it is going. For instance, we're on the Voice of Africa. It's shortwave and it covers many of the African countries, and I'm sure that we have a lot of listeners that are not even Christians, probably Muslim listeners to this program, and so we have all kinds of people listening, and so pray that the Holy Spirit will use the program to speak to people's hearts. Now, one of the reasons, the main reason this program is here, is we believe that we have the Word of God today. It's not something mystical or something hidden in some cave somewhere or some manuscripts that we've lost. We actually have the perfect Word of God today, and that's what this program is all about. And we're going to be talking in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about what a lot of preachers are being taught today based on the ideas and theories of Westcott and Hort. And when they put out, and Westcott and Hort were involved in spiritualism. Spiritualism is demonism or devilism. I mean, they have spiritualist churches. And they were involved in this kind of stuff. They were involved in, they believed in evolution. And man-made theories that they put out, and they're taught in evangelical and fundamental schools. Not all of them, thank God. There's a number of them out there that teach what we're teaching, but they're taught in a lot of schools. And the last 30 years, I've been teaching young men for the ministry, and so I read these books that they're using, and I try to read everything on this subject that I can to be well informed and to train them in the right way. It's just man-made humanistic falsehood that's being taught. And we're going to take some of the statements that many preachers are being taught today, and we're going to evaluate them from the Word of God, the Bible. Now, I want to say also, we promote books on this station. I do not get paid for this so much that it's promoted. Somebody's getting big bucks for it. I am not getting 1 cent from these books that we're talking about, but I'm promoting them so that you have the information. And a number of these books they're being put out are wonderful books, highly researched and tremendous. And I have one here called Hazardous Materials, And Greek and Hebrew Study Dangers. And once again, it is written by Dr. Gail Riflinger. And in there, it really explains what is being taught today and what is going on. And the problem is there, when you hear somebody correct the Bible on the radio, and I think that's an abomination. And most of the time, I don't believe the correctors understand or know what they're talking about. They'll say, the Greek says. Well, there's many Greek texts. And then even if they get the right text, and they'll say, the Greek word says, it's based on lexicons that are highly unreliable, many of them written by people that are not even born-again people by their own statements. For instance, Thayer is a Unitarian, and they're using him in a lot of the modern versions, and he does not believe that Jesus Christ is God. Well, he'll never make it to heaven. You must believe Jesus is God to go to heaven. Thomas said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. That's what saves you. You say to Jesus, my Lord and my God, and mean that, and you have to accept him for yourself. And when you do that, Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. And so Jesus Christ is God, and we've gone into that many times before. But I'm going to be reading some of the things that are taught in these Bible schools. For instance, I'll wait until we get there because I want to comment on it from, and we're going to take it from a biblical standpoint. So also, I want to make a few announcements again, and we mentioned a few things, but again, I'm going to be speaking at Stowe Falls Baptist Church this Sunday, and that is the 14th coming up. Is that right? Double check that.
Yes. Yeah, that would be this coming Sunday.
Okay. And that's this coming Sunday, and I'll be speaking Sunday morning and Sunday night, and I'll be there with Brother Tim Huth, and he's a man of God. I highly respect him and his ministry. He's teaching now at the Bible Institute at Cleveland Baptist Church, and he's teaching on the Word of God, the Bible, to young men that are studying for the ministry, and he's someone that I love and appreciate. And then I'm going to be at the Mission Conference on the 20th. I believe that's a Friday night with Pastor Andrew Snacko at Bible
Saturday
Baptist
night.
Temple.
Saturday night.
It's Saturday 20th. Night. Okay, yeah. Thank you. See, that's why I have you here, see, to get me straight. See,
I just happen to remember that Sunday's the 21st, so yeah. I just happen to know that one.
Okay. So anyway, thank you, Al, and I appreciate him, and that's okay. And so I'll be there. And again, they support me in Bible Baptist Temple, and I thank God for that. And so I'll be there at the missions conference. We already said we thank God for the People's Baptist, another Baptist church, and I appreciate the pastor there, and that's in Brunswick, Ohio. And so they support my ministry, and so I need the support in order to, you know, do this program. But I thank God, and I also want to thank Brother Clark Block. Once again, he's here with us, and he's very important because he picks me up and brings me over to the station. And so he's got a smile on his face because he's been married now.
Three months.
And I'll say hello to Kathy, his wife, Kathy, who is listening. Yes. So he's married 3 months, and he's still happy. And so he's supposed to, you know what the Bible tells him you're supposed to do now, the first, I think, year? He's supposed to spend all of his time cheering up his wife. But he has a little time he gives me for bringing me to the station. So anyway, it's a blessing to be with you folks and that are out there, and just pray for this ministry. Now, I want to start this off today and give some prophecy. We know that the Bible is the Word of God because it predicts the future, and I'm not going into this today, but you see, when the prophets of God show up, Moses and Elijah, and we know that Moses represented the law, Elijah the prophets, and says these are the men that stood by the Lord of the whole earth. Well, on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Moses and Elijah who were standing by the Lord of the whole earth. And they show up and they prophesy against the Antichrist and against his government. And it's called the beast, and that's referring to the government, but also referring to the head. Also, the head goes with the body. And so they will show up, and they will prophesy, and the Antichrist can't do anything against him. and until their ministry is finished, and then they are put to death. And then while the whole world watches, God raises them from the dead. And the Bible makes the point that every nation, tongue, and language see them prophesying, see them their dead bodies laying there, see them rise from the dead. Well, how can they do that unless they have television? And so the Bible predicts TV. And they were watching them, and they have video cameras set up around the world. They have them set up in Washington, Moscow, where you could see what's going on. And through satellite and so on, you can see what's going on. And so God writes the future as if it's already past, because he has infinite intelligence. I'll give you another example of this, and then we'll get into some of the prophecies about Jesus. But it talks about a woman who is representative of Israel in the book of Revelation, and it says John is looking into the future 2,000 years ago, and it says there were given unto her, this woman, the wings of a great eagle, and she did fly into the desert. Now, how in the world would he know about that? Well, and what was he talking about? It has to be a plane that he's talking about. There were given unto her, the woman, the wings of a great eagle, and she did fly in the into the desert. So John sees her get on the plane, gets on the plane takes off. And how's he going to describe it from the first century?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible is loaded with all kinds of scientific information, prophetic statements that only Almighty God would know. And it's found in the King James. And by the way, some of the other Bibles carry some of this too, but the King James is perfect, because the cross-reference to this is found in Matthew, the verse that I just read. And Jesus says, pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. You know, they don't fly in Israel on the Sabbath day, and in the winter they might get ice on their wings and crash, you know. So he says, don't pray that your flights. And he uses the 20th century words. And you're stretching it. But as I read my Bible, the King James Bible, it's given by God. It's supernatural all the way through. And it used words today that when it was written 1611 that they would not have known about. I was reading recently that the Bible in the King James has a mathematical consistency that is incredible. And they show in this book page after page and dozens of pages, over 100 pages of information where it shows the mathematical consistency of it. It's put together in a mathematical way that the translators couldn't possibly have known about. And we'll be talking about that sometime in the future. But we want to start and talk about, my lands, the time is really going fast here. some of the prophecy about Jesus Christ. How about the one in Micah chapter 5, verse 2? Can you read that, Pastor?
In Micah chapter 5?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The Bible says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting.
Now Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That predicts it hundreds of years before he came. And then Ephratah, and then it says, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. That is, Jesus was took on a human body there, but he always was. He is the eternal God. And our mind has a closed door to something that has no beginning. We just can't comprehend it or explain it. But it says his goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, many of the modern versions will try to mess with that from everlasting. See, because they don't like, many of the people are unsaved, and so they don't like the idea that Jesus is God. But it predicts that. And so 2,000 years ago, he took on a human body, the Creator God, who is Jesus Christ. And another scripture verse, and I think I'll quote this one, and then you can look up Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25 and 26. Well, I quote this, but Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, 7, it says, unto us a child is born. Unto Jesus was born into the world. And a child was born unto us, a son is given, God gave his son, and his name shall be called Wonderful. To us that are believers, he is wonderful, because he died for our sins. He paid for all of our sins, so we'll meet God in perfection with great joy, because the sins will be blotted out by his blood. He says his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Jesus Christ is the Mighty God. And Jesus demonstrated it by his works. He did only what God could do. The Everlasting Father, and he will be a father to you if you're saved. He will take care of you, and he will be with you. The Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. And so right now, the Bible predicts in Psalms chapter 2 that, and this is found verse 1 through 6, that his government will be set up in the beginning by people that are his enemies. And I'll tell you, let's switch over to Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 through 6.
All right, let me get turned over there.
And it starts off, why do the heathen rage? Heathen of the Gentiles, and the people imagine a vain thing. That's the Jewish people. When it talks about the people, it's talking about Israel. You know, and take counsel together against the Lord and his Christ, or his anointed one. In the New Testament, translated Christ, because it's the same thing. The anointed one is the king. Kings were anointed, and so Jesus is the coming king of this world who will rule this planet from Jerusalem, Israel. And they say, let us break their bands asunder, that is the Father and the Son, and cast away their cords from us. Let's get rid of all their rules. Let's get rid of them. You have the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Liberties Union, and Peter Lewis gave millions to it, and he recently found out that Jesus is alive and well because he died and he went to meet his creator. But they try to censor anything having to do with Jesus Christ. You want to take up the rest of that chapter there?
Right. Psalm 2 and the first six verses, the Bible says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion.
And that's where Jesus will rule from Mount Zion. That's why God is allowing the whole world to talk about Jerusalem and who owns it. Well, Jesus Christ owns it, and he will rule this world. And then, can you read the next verse?
Verse number 7 says, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee.
Now, right there is very, very important because right there it says that God has a son. And it mentions other places in the Tanakh or the Old Testament also that God has a son. So he, right there, and it's his son who will reign, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible's a book of prophecy about his son. Well, the time's passing fast, so I want to move on here. And I want to start talking about some of the things that are being taught today that are false. To preachers. Now, in here, I'm not going to mention this fellow, he's a radio pastor, but some of the things that are being taught in the Christian schools today that are wrong. Okay, it says here, this doctor became familiar with the NKJV, that's New King James, realized that the language was not irreverent, that the translators preserved the flavor, cadence of the authorized version as much as possible. Although doctor, I'll just say, most frequently taught from the King James Version, he used the New Scofield Reference. Now, it's talking the New King James. The New King James takes the blood of Jesus out in over a dozen places, and that can be documented. You can read the book, Which Bible is God's Word, and you see the changes that have been made. It's written by Gail Ripplinger. It's a masterpiece. And her books are very interesting, and God has given her great talent. And so the New King James is not the King James. Now, they don't take the names of Jesus out, thank God, 100 places like most of the other ones do. Now, it says, this doctor frequently taught from the King James Version and New Scofield Reference. The New Scofield Reference says it's the King James. It is not the King James. They change it in many different places. And once again, a falsehood. Now, it says here, he did not limit himself, this doctor, to one, just one version when he studied the Word of God. In fact, he often quoted from other translations. Now, these translations come from different texts. They don't say the same thing in thousands of places. Now, if you have two Bibles that disagree with each other, where is your authority? Who's the authority? Well, then it has to be your preacher. It has to be the doctor down there at the Bible Institute or some book or something. And a lot of people, we have evangelical popes, and they'll tell you what it is, but they don't give any evidence for what they say. You ever notice that?
I had somebody at the Wayne County Fair just the other day who was saying, well, God's word is preserved. It's absolutely preserved. And I said, yeah, I believe it's preserved in the King James Version of the Bible. And they said, no, it's preserved. They basically were trying to tell me it's preserved in the multiplicity of translations. And I said, so how do you know what's what? And said, well, the Lord leads you. So in other words, they make themselves the determiner of what's God's word.
I am sure glad you said that. Yes, then it's subjective, and they become the authority.
Exactly.
That's what this program is all about. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, Psalms 12, 6, and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, they weren't familiar with that passage because I don't think that was in their Bible.
Yeah, they change it. And they shouldn't change it. You know, the old commentaries all have it in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they change it because they don't like that one, you know. So anyway, he often quoted from others. So they pick a translation here and a translation there, and then they become the authority. That's astounding to me, you know, to recommend contradictory versions. And okay, now it says he used 20 different versions when preparing his lessons. Now, let's see. It says there's literature rebounds arguing the King. There's literature today that argues King James is the only true, valid version. It is. Why do we say this? Because the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. For instance, after 1611, 100 translations come out, and they just last. Now, the latest one, it's starting to go out, is the NIV, and they're going to put out the English Standard Version. I have a whole book on this. It's called it's another book that I'll get back to later. But anyway, they're going to start promoting that. But one comes and one goes. The King James marches on. If one group gets rid of it, God raises up another group. And today, the King James has 5 billion copies have been put out of it. And it keeps right on going no matter who teaches against it, no matter who talks against it, because the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. See? Then he says here, we would like to remind you that no translation into any language is inspired. Only the original languages constitute this. Okay, when Jesus said, the words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life, we can't, if it's alive, it's inspired. And we can't say that anything in our Bible is inspired because they say only the originals are inspired. You know, the Bible says Scripture is inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. If our Bible is Scripture, then it's inspired. And I that passage where it's mentioned, and it says there in that passage, from a child thou hast known the Scriptures. And then it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You think Timothy had the original autographs? Of course he didn't have the originals. But he said he knew the Scripture from a child, and he had copies of copies because Moses wrote the originals probably over 1,000 years before Timothy, that had the inspired Scriptures, was born. And so they say no translation is inspired. What about the translation of Moses when he's translating Egyptian words? What about the New Testament that is written in Greek? And was that inspired when they quote the Old Testament? And so what they're saying is, first of all, they say the Word of God. It says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we were saved by the Word of God. They say it's the Word of God, but when they get done explaining, they pull the rug out and it's no longer the Word of God. It's just a translation. They say no translation is inspired. That's blasphemy. The New Testament translation is inspired. And God said he would preserve his words. Therefore, it has the life of God in those words. Okay, we have a break coming up, and we'll take that right now.
Can a Christian group give out Bibles at a public school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
The Gideon International Group has been giving out Bibles in our county for years to fifth graders, but our school won't allow them to do it anymore. And they said because the children are picked up on the school property that the men can't give them the Bibles. And I was just wondering, what is their legal right of the Gideons to do that? I know other groups have programs. I just was wondering what the position was on that.
Well, if they're allowing other groups to come on, they should allow the Gideons. Now, they have to give them the same access, nothing greater, though, than any other groups given. And the school principals are given a great deal of discretion here, but if they're allowing various groups to come on campus, these are off-campus associations coming on to distribute material and talk to students, certainly should allow the Gideons the same kind of rights there.
Stay informed on critical issues by visiting us online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
If you're not really sick, then you don't need a doctor. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. And if you're not really lost, you don't need a map or a compass. But if you are sick or lost, you know you need help. Yet few seem to grasp how sick and lost most of humanity is. And according to the scriptures, the unrepentant sinner has no excuse for not recognizing the great physician, the Savior. Listen to these words from Romans. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Our only hope is in the new life Christ offers.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
All right, we're back, and we're so glad you're with us today. And we're talking about what a lot of preachers are being taught in the classes on biblical authority. One of the books they were being taught was a book by Geisler and Nix. Geisler was trained by the Jesuits, by the way. He got his Doctor of Divinity from that. And that book was circulated through many fundamental schools. And the ideas of it in dealing with textual history and so on come from the Jesuits themselves. It was an organization raised up to counteract the Protestant Reformation way back around the 16th century or something. And so so they're talking about, they always start talking about the originals. Now, Jesus appealed to what he had as authoritative. He said, it is written. And by the way, Jesus had copies of copies. So did the apostles. And they were translations into the Greek. And he never corrected the Bible. He didn't say, this is an unfortunate translation. The original Hebrew says a better reading is. All this stuff you hear. And these guys that say this, they never give any evidence or proof, because I don't think they even know the evidence or proof to give it. They remind me of Russell, who started the Jehovah's Witnesses, and he claimed to be a Greek scholar. So in court, the opposing lawyer said, would you please give the Greek alphabet? And of course, Russell couldn't give it. And I don't think a lot of these Bible correctors could even give the Greek alphabet. And they're so dogmatic, they give you no proof or evidence. It's, there's all kinds of Greek texts out there. There's all kinds of dictionaries of Greek words called lexicons out there, and many of them, like Thayer, is a Unitarian. They're not written by born-again people, and they're correcting the Bible constantly on radio and television. I personally think it's an abomination. And so it says he uses different translations, which are based on different texts, on different dictionaries. You know what the Bible says about this? It says, divers weights and measurements are an abomination unto the Lord. Brother Al, can you understand that scripture verse? You understand what that means?
Well, those are some pretty big words in there.
Yes.
But yeah, it sounds like God's not happy with that.
Yeah, different weights and measurements. I mean, you got Bibles that disagree. And you know, evangelical leaders, they don't come to terms with this. And I've witnessed to Muslims, and they're taught in Saudi Arabia in their colleges that Christians have many Bibles, but they say we only have one, see? And I say we only have one, too. It's called the King James Bible, and the rest of them are counterfeits. And they disagree in thousands of places. You ought to get this book called New Age Bible Versions by Gail Riplinger if you doubt this. And you say, well, what? You know, a lot of times people come down the pike and they got some kind of an agenda, you know, and they're promoting. The agenda that we're promoting is very, very serious with God. You ought to read the last words of Jesus about people that change his words, add to them, or take away from his words. And so Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away, you know. And so he said that he would keep his words. And so we're giving you scripture verses that show where they are. It says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The great revivals. Whitfield came over with the King James Bible and turned America upside down. The Holy Spirit used it. D.L. Moody used the King James. He was a King James only person. People say they believe every word of the Bible is true, present tense. And I say, which one? And they say, you sound like a King James only, like that's some bad thing, you know? Well, to me, I tell you in my reasoning, I just think when you recommend conflicting authorities, this is crazy. What do you say about that, preacher?
Well, you know, I remember seeing one time a show. It was supposed to be a church service out of Hawaii, and the guy sat on a stool, and he had several Bible versions sitting on a little low table next to him, and he would read the same verse from several versions. Then he would turn to the congregation and say, does anybody have this version? Now let me have that so I can read that. How about this version? So he'd read the same verse in a bunch of different versions, and then he would say, basically what he would do is he would pick and choose from all of those versions what he thought was best. And no consistency. It was just whatever sounded best to him. I would think, even if I didn't believe what you're teaching here about the King James Version of the Bible, as a pastor, I would make sure my church had one version so we could be on the same page, you know, so we could be speaking with the same voice, as opposed to a dozen different conflicting things and everybody's confused. Because I've had people say, similar to what you said about the Muslims, and say, well, there's so many versions, nobody knows what the Bible is.
Yeah, well, we know because there are many scripture verses that point to the King James. The word of God liveth and abideth forever. It's something that's alive and it can reproduce itself. That is, you know, the other ones, you know, they're promoted by millions of dollars of advertising, and these people advertise it, you know, and then it hangs around for a little while, and then they, you know, they're making money off of it. So then the next one comes along. I suppose the next one is the English Standard Version or something. Mm-hmm. You know, first it was the ASV and that went out. Then it was the RSV, and then it was the new ASV and the RSV and so on. And they hang around till the advertising stops, you know. But the King James Word of God liveth and abideth forever. We have it today. And the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. And the Bible says we can handle it with our hands. I'm holding the King James. I'm looking at the King James. You know, we can look at it. And it goes right on. Preacher told me the other day, well, they're predicting the King James is going out. I said, man, they've been predicting that for 100 years.
400.
Yeah. But, I mean, I could read A.T. Robertson. He's predicting it was going out. And I read a Vedder who was, he was saying, no, he didn't say it would go out. He says there's better translations, but you never get Christians to go away from it, you know, get away from it. Well, that was a prophecy. It's the Word of God. It keeps on going. And you could talk all you want and teach all you want, but I'll tell you, it goes on. And it says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. It is written that you might believe Jesus, the Son of God, and so... The modern ones in Luke 2:33 say he's the son of Joseph. So there's many, many verses that point to the King James. And it's something we have. It's not They talk about the originals. That is really, they don't have the originals. If they had it, they don't know what it is. It's put out by Westcott and Hort, and we have copies of copies, and 90% of the ancient manuscripts and church fathers back up the King James. Bergen showed this. It's never been disproved. The modern ones are based on less than 1%, and the less than 1% disagree with each other. They're called the Alexander text. The two main ones, they call it the oldest and best. Now, that's depending on who's saying it. I'm sure that the devil was saying it. He would agree. They were the oldest and best. But they disagree with each other 3,000 times in the Gospels alone, 3,000 words put out by Constantine. And the Pope, by the way, has been promoting them for the last hundreds of years. And so I'm sure he's very glad that they're teaching that in evangelical schools, that Vaticanus Sinaiticus, the oldest and best. But, you know, when the Pope put the copies of these out, he doesn't let anybody but Catholics even see them. The copies that he put out in 1900 don't even agree with one another. And that's what your modern versions are based on. And the Jehovah's Witness Bible is based on that. The ASV, the RSV, the New ASV is based on that. And but the true words were copied in Bible-believing churches, and they were very careful in copying it. And so we have it today. Let's read some more. I want to get some more things that are being taught here. Let's see. He used the authorized as much as possible. Yeah, and then when he decided it, you know, one guy was telling me he went to some Bible school, and he says they were studying exegesis, you know, and they were supposed to bring a bunch of different translations and decide which one is the right one. Can you imagine? I mean, they didn't have the knowledge of history or textual history even. They were supposed to decide. I thought, man, what if that's not as crazy as anything I ever heard of? That I don't know anything crazier than that. So they make up, I would call that eisegesis, you know, not exegesis, eisegesis.
I'd say some of the new translations are exegesis, they X'd him out.
Yes, that there you go. So again, we say it. Now, so that's what they were teaching. And actually, I knew another Bible school, and they were looking at that critical apparatus that's the bottom of the Greek text. And that's a joke, too, because they'll have probably 99 Greek manuscripts that line up with the King James, and then they'll have about two or three that disagree with it, and then they'll put each one of them as a separate text. So they line up. Maybe there's one manuscript that is different from the King James. They have that at the bottom of the page at the critical apparatus, and then they have another one that disagrees with the King James and disagrees with the first one. That's at the bottom of the page. Then the third one, and then the Textus Receptus, made up of 99%, they'll have that as TR, you know, and so they'll line them up against the other three that disagree with each other. You understand what I'm saying? I hope I don't get too complicated here. It's crazy, you know, it's insanity, and it's satanic because it's destructive of the Word of God. And we're saying today, God has showed us where His Word is. And, you know, His Word is connected with Jesus Christ, because if you could read that verse in Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to show you this. Now, it says that the Word of God is quick and powerful, and that's the verse that I would like you to read. But Christ and the Word are connected together. Look it. When Jesus came, they had the prophecies of who He was when He came. They had Daniel 9, which tells the exact time. They had where He's going to be born, and many, many prophecies that tell. But what happens? The educated, religious leaders, they reject Jesus despite all the prophecies. Now, God said He would have His Word, would abide with us forever. So just as they rejected Jesus, the Word of God incarnate, they have rejected the Word of God today and are putting out counterfeit Bibles. But we have the Word of God today. And Moody spoke on this. Spurgeon spoke, and we've read these people numbers of times. Finney, he said he never felt qualified to correct it. And you could go on and on. People that God used have stood up for the King James as the Word of God. Would you read that, Pastor?
Right, that's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart."
Keep going.
"Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do."
You see, the word of God, the written word of God, is so connected with Jesus Christ that it talks about it being a him, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, the Laodicean church, Christ is outside the church. Well, how is he outside the church? They've thrown out his word outside the church, which has come down to us. When the King James translators translated the Bible, they had translations made, and they had the Greek text and the translations made that were copied in Bible-believing churches, and they took the translation from these translations, but also from texts that had come down to us. They're in hundreds of these Bibles in Europe, in the museums. And so they based it on the received texts come down to us from Christ and the apostles. These texts come from translations, the Syriac Peshitta, it's translated the Koine Greek text, the Italic text, all of them the received text. And they agree with one another. And the King James is based on it. The Alexandrian text that they use for the modern versions is just based from Alexandria, Egypt, and its origins, corruption. Well, we'll continue. The wonderful King James, the New King James, not a departure, theological deviation from the wonderful King James. You know, they all give kisses to it to start with. But simply an updating, which time has necessitated. Well, they take out the names of Jesus, and so it's not just an updating. That's what they say. It's just an updating of the King James. The Greek from which all translations of the New Testament have been made was the common Greek of that day, not the dignified literary expression of the upper class, the classical Greek. Now, they say all translations come from the common Greek, or that's the Koine Greek. That is the biggest lie. Whoever said that is very, very ignorant or is a telling a big lie. The New Testament, any Greek professor will tell you this, comes from the Koine Greek text. And the received text the King James based on is the Koine Greek text. The modern ones are based on the classical Greek because Origen changed it to classical Greek words. And this can be proven in the canons of textual criticism, which is simply get back to the Vatican Bible. It's set up so you'll go back to the Vatican Bible. It says the originals, but Vatican Bible didn't come out to 335. It says the most difficult reading. In other words, they say that the true text is the most difficult reading in the Greek. Well, the modern ones, the King James is based on the common Koine Greek. The modern ones based on classical Greek. We can put it like this. Here's common Greek. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Classical Greek, propel, propel, propel your craft classically down the liquid solution, ecstatically, 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 existence is but a delusion. That's classical Greek. They're all based on that, and they're canons to get people to follow that. It says the most difficult reading is the best. It also says in the canon the simplest reading is the best. That is the less words, because they take out the names of Jesus in 100 places. In these corrupt texts. Okay, let's see. We go on here. Now it says the Holy Spirit, the working man's language that the Holy Spirit used to communicate God's revelation. So they're talking again for the Koine Greek, which the King James is based on, the modern ones based on classical Greek. Now, you know, God talks against that. Says, we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Man's wisdom is referring to philosophy. Philosophistry means lover of wisdom. And so the modern ones are based on Origen's corruptions, which were philosophical language, and God warns against it. We speak in the language of the Holy Ghost, and the King James speaks in the language of the Holy Spirit also. And so not in the language of classical Greek. Okay. Now, it talks about man must easily understood. That's the big thing that they're saying. You can't understand it. Well, I would say this. Get out of Bible. When somebody says that to me, I say, start reading. Tell me what words you don't understand. They say, well, I don't understand these and those. And that's crazy. That's just, I say this, like somebody has said, if I said, I have $1 million for thee, do you think you could understand that? And the Bible explains itself. It's a built-in dictionary. You don't understand the passage. The Bible says, compare spiritual things with spiritual. It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. You see, evangelical scholars are following unsaved scholars so that they're getting recognized by that. But I say that their scholarship many times is Mickey Mouse scholarship. But we have the Word of God today. God bless you. When you get your King James Bible out, and I'll tell you, when I read it, when I'm down, man, I'll tell you, it just changes my thoughts and puts me into heaven right away. And so you read the Bible. That's what you want you to do, and believe it. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding program's views...